All rise.
The Honorable, the Judges of the United States Court of Appeals for the 8th Circuit. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The United States Court of Appeals for the 8th Circuit is now in session. All persons having business before this Honorable Court are not drawn near, and they will be heard. God save the United States and this Honorable Court. Please be seated.
Thank you all for coming here for this special session of the court. As you all know, we're here to honor one of our colleagues that you know well and we know well, and it's our guest of honor seated to my right here and to your left, the Honorable John R. Gibson.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Let me first make a few introductions. From the Court of Appeals, to my left, Judge Morris Arnold from Little Rock, Arkansas. Michael Malloy from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Levinsky Smith from Little Rock, Arkansas. And Dwayne Benton from Kansas City, Missouri. And I also see another judge in our audience, and I would ask him to stand, a very honored member of our court for many years, Judge David Hansen from Cedar Rapids. Judge Hansen? From the Western District of Missouri, and I apologize if we miss somebody, I'm giving the names that I've been told. We have Judge Finner, Gary Finner, Greg Kays, Scott Wright, Howard Sachs, Dean Whipple, and from the Bankruptcy Court, Jerry Venters. From the Bankruptcy Court, also the BAP, Arthur Fetterman. And from the Bankruptcy Court, Dennis Dow.
Judge Smith.
Okay, there we go. Okay. And from Magistrate, Sarah Hayes. Okay, John Maumer. They're working, judges. And Matt Whitworth. Matt. From the Eastern District of Missouri, another retired judge who will be our guest speaker today, Judge Stephen Limbaugh. And from the Southern District of Iowa, Judge James Gritzner. So I'd also like to introduce the family members that are here today. Let me start with Jean Gibson Sullivan and her daughter, Judge Gibson's daughter, her husband Bill Sullivan, and their sons Connor and Luke. Okay. And Holly Mills, Judge Gibson's stepdaughter, and her husband William Mills, Catherine Larrison, stepdaughter. And her fiancé, Sean Bright, is he here? Empty chair, okay. And let me introduce myself. My name is William Riley from Omaha, Nebraska, and I'm the current chief judge of the circuit. With that, I want to get us on with the program, but I wanted to say just a few remarks besides welcoming you here and introducing the court and the family. And I want to talk about the legacy of a federal judge, and that federal judge is our guest of honor, Judge John R. Gibson. And I wanted to think of some words that describe Judge Gibson. One is integrity. Judge Gibson did what was right in the right way. Another word that came to mind was intellect. Judge Gibson's reasoning was always among the best on the court. Another term, compassion. Judge Gibson cares for others, whether it's the parties, the lawyers, or the court. Another phrase is following the law. Judge Gibson knew and knows and practiced our nation's rules, our laws, and followed them. another term that came to mind is friendship. His friendship with the members of the court and with me personally, because he and I shared a love of bicycling. And he says that, but when I came on the court, I was bragging that I'd gone over 1,000 miles that year on my bicycle, and he complimented me on doing that and then kind of said, well, I went about 2,000 and something. So we share the same love, but I think he was much better at it than I. Judge Gibson served on our court for over 30 years, from 1981 to January 26, 2011. And he served and worked for the citizens of the United States and of this circuit. I want to read a letter from a chief judge of the First Circuit, and I do this because Judge Gibson sat not only with our court, but he sat with many other circuits. The current chief judge of the First Circuit Court of Appeals, Sandra Lynch, wrote and said, "The judges of the First Circuit wish to join this tribute to your many years of fine service to the judiciary. It was our good fortune to have you sit with us as a visiting judge over the years. We kept inviting you back because the work you did for us was always first rate. You were thoughtful and careful, and it was a pleasure to have you with us. We thank the Eighth Circuit for loaning you to us and wish you good fortune always." We likewise from the Eighth Circuit, and I know everyone here, wish you good fortune always. And with that, I'm going to give you this before I forget. I think this is actually from GSA, but it is your nameplate from your office.
Oh my!
And I will warn you that it is still sticky on the back.
So, what am I sticking on to?
Put it on your door, your house, or your room, or someplace. And I'm going to leave it here for somebody who can handle it better than I can. That doesn't
sticky up.
Okay. With that, I'd like to turn to a resolution that was adopted by the court, and I will turn it over to Judge Michael Malloy.
Thank you, Chief Judge Riley. I'm very honored to be here this afternoon to join with Judge Gibson's family and friends in this tribute and recognition of your many years of service on our court. I will read a resolution that was adopted by the judges of the United States Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit. Judge John R. Gibson of Kansas City, Missouri, a paradigm member of author journalist Tom Brokaw's Greatest Generation, retired from the court on January 26, 2011, completing more than 30 years of federal service. Most of this time came while on duty as a distinguished member of this court. Senior Judge Gibson, affectionately known as John R. by most of his associates, served during World War II as a sergeant in the United States Army, in Europe, and later in Asia. After hostilities ceased, he returned to Missouri, where he completed his undergraduate degree and then a law degree at the University of Missouri, Columbia in 1952. That year, he began his practice at one of Kansas City's premier law firms, a practice that continued until his judicial service began. His many law-related activities included a term as president of the Missouri Bar. He was active in civic affairs in Kansas City, serving as a member and chairman of the drafting committee of a commission charged with creating a home rule charter that substantially changed how the city governed itself. He was also appointed by the governor as a commissioner on the board with responsibility for police services in Kansas City. Twice, Judge Gibson was first in the mind of President Ronald Reagan, his appointing president. Initially on September 19, 1981, he was selected as one of three simultaneously appointed district judges. Then on March 9, 1982, he became the first Reagan appellate judge in this circuit. Judge Gibson has been a distinguished colleague. Plaudits from his associates, practicing lawyers, and court observers have been numerous and telling. Space permits only a few examples. One associate has noted that he was blessed with a powerful analytical mind, unfailing good humor, compassion, and fairness. On the occasion of his reaching senior status, it was pointed out that lawyer evaluation stated he was politically neutral and without discernible ideological preferences. It was further accurately noted that this showed that personal predilections irrelevant to the determination of law and fact do not influence his decisions. This, we think, is among the highest compliments a judge can receive. These kind words and many more have been crafted but are not included here, but were well earned and are duly recorded in the annals of our court. John R., a lifelong cyclist with many Tour de France trips to his credit, has been fondly dubbed our dinner judge. This mantle of leadership derived from his spontaneous arrangement of numerous informal dinners during oral argument sessions, gatherings designed to bring us from our disparate places of habitation into an ambiance of enhanced camaraderie and collegiality, both necessary commodities for a well-functioning court. We will be forever in your debt for this benefit. Judge Gibson, an avid scuba diver and skilled underwater photographer, will be sorely missed. However, retirement now brings him calmer waters and the time to more fully enjoy family and good friends, perhaps over a well-prepared nourishment. Congratulations.
Thank you. Now I'd like to turn to our Missouri brethren on the court, Judge Dwayne Benton.
Thank you, Chief. What a career, John R. 2,042 opinions about every area of law this judge wrote an opinion in. Some of you here who are judges and clerks know how hard it is to write one opinion. Think of over 2,000. I bet you've heard the trivia question, which Missouri federal judge directly succeeded a federal judge with the same last name? I know some of you are looking at your programs. And you think that the next speaker, who used to sit in the Eastern District, whose son now sits in a courthouse named for his father, has to be the answer to the question, right? Well, I put the word directly, and there's a trick. Because the answer is, which federal judge directly succeeded a federal judge, same last name? It's John R. Gibson, who succeeded Floyd Gibson as a judge of this court. I see a few of you know that. For the past over 20 years, John R. has been a friend to me. We're both born in Springfield, quarter century apart, but born in Springfield. We often talked about Springfield, the square, the Ozark Empire Fair, the Shrine Mosque, how things used to be before that area of the state absolutely boomed. Sometimes you go through his achievements and they're kind of understated. He was always an understated person. For example, do you know he completed law school and college in 6 years? 6 years from beginning in at MU, Dean's here, Dean Desim, Phi Beta Kappa, editor of the Missouri Law Review, and in all our talks, I didn't know that. Typical style, Judge Gibson never particularly mentioned being an editor of the Missouri Law Review, it's properly called, and later trustee of the Law School's foundation at the MU School of Law. He served on the building committee for this building and helped design this very room. And I must tell you, when you have photographers here, or you have other people, they say, what a great use of natural lighting. You can have the electric lights on here and you barely notice the difference. What a good job you did. President of the Missouri Bar, we skimmed by that so quickly. Some of you out there know, or Tree Smith, Judge Smith of the District Court knows, that for years you have to be a governor. And then after years, it's an elected position. Oh, you got to be elected by the local lawyers first, and then elected by all the lawyers in the state. It's quite an achievement. President of the Kansas City Metropolitan Bar. Mentor. We have a large number of clerks to John R. Gibson, and it's a shame we don't have time for each of you clerks to talk about what this man meant to you. I can't resist, you shouldn't mention names, but I'm going to mention two names, of course. United States District Judge Josephine S. Tucker, the Central District of California, was a clerk to John R. Gibson. And, of course, Heidi Dierhoff-Vollett, who, after clerking for Judge Gibson in 2001, clerked on the United States Supreme Court. And I know I could go on and on and on, but I think I'll stop with those two of people that you nurtured their careers. John R. Gibson reminds me of Robert Louis Stevenson's poem, "That man is a success who lived well, laughed often, loved much." who has gained the respect of intelligent adults and the love of children, who has filled his niche and accomplished his task, who leaves the world better than he found it, whether by an improved flower, a perfect poem, or a rescued soul, who never lacked appreciation of Earth's beauty or failed to express it, who looked for the best in others and gave the best he had. Congratulations.
And I'm going to turn to our guest speaker. And I want you to know we didn't have to ask him to come speak because he was coming anyway. And when I saw him on the list of people who were coming, I said, well, we have to have him say a few words. And a very respected and honored judge in Missouri, as he is around the country and certainly at the Eighth Circuit. He's now retired. He's back to being a working lawyer again. And it's Judge Senior, or retired judge now, Stephen Limbaugh.
May it please the court, Chief Judge Riley, and members of the bench, and distinguished judges, family, and friends who are here. Judge Benton just stole my speech. With that and the resolution that you heard and the things that you have on your programs and the material that has been given out to you, there's not a great deal left to say because it's very well encompassed in these documents, but may I take the liberty in just a few remarks?
Yes, you may.
Of reiterating some of this material and adding to it just a little bit. When we think of a judge of the United States Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit, or any circuit for that matter in the federal scheme of things, we think of a man like Judge Gibson. He looks like a judge. He has an aura of confidence about him. At the same time, there's some gentility with him. He appears to have a grasp on things. He obviously is a scholar of the law and has been well versed in it for many years. So a man of that stature, you find it a little difficult to look at the other side, which has been referred to. And if you will turn to your programs as you have them here, and I don't know, Gene, whether you put this together or not, but first of all, the cyclist bit. It was only 6 years ago that I called Judge Gibson one Saturday evening, knowing that he was going to sit in St. Louis the following week to see if he'd have dinner with my wife Ann and myself. And no one answered. The answering machine was on. And so I asked that he call me back, and he did. And 6 years ago, where have you been? Well, I've been out riding my bicycle. Well, how long did you go this time? Well, it was only 50 miles. It got a little dark on us. He was wont to do this when the weather was good on a Saturday or Sunday evening. He had a great delight in cycling, and he spent at least three times at the French Open. And he would go along the routes where the cyclists would ride. It's over a two-week period, as you know, and he'd camp out there at some nice restaurant, and during lunch he'd watch the cyclists come by. He was even there when Lance Armstrong crossed the finish line at the Champs-Élysées when he won that one. So he's a great advocate of this, even though he is an august judge. The scuba diving thing, you can see, too. It's on the your lower right-hand side of the inside. Now, this is the real McCoy. because the picture does not lie. The ones that you haven't seen, he will be happy to show you. They're in his home, and you need not ask. He'll volunteer to show you. But a lot of them show the fishes around him while he's got all this gear on and the pack on his back. So for many, many years, he was an avid member of this group. Now, you can think that would be sufficiently adequate to equate the augustness of and the grandeur of the judicial position. But if you again turn to this bulletin and see that little red Italian vehicle,